Okay. So we're on the top of Daf Tzadiches Amid Aleph. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, which is about three lines down from the top. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. Hamavir Arba Amos B'Reshus HaRabim Mekora. If there's a ceiling on the top of Reshus HaRabim, Potur. Lefisha Eino Dome L'Ragle Midbar. So we learn Meleches Hotzah as we learn all the Meleches from the Midbar. In the case of Machne Yisrael in the Midbar, which was called the Reshus HaRabim, and the Reshus HaRabim was open under the sky, it was not covered by any sort of kirui, any sort of ceiling, and therefore we are limited in the Hotzah as a malacha to that limitation as it was in the Midbar Machne Yisrael, and it was not Makura. But if it was Makura, that's not called Meleches Hotzah. And you might ask, well, what difference it make if it's Makura or not? Maybe it's just a coincidence, so to speak, that in Machne Yisrael there was no covering on top, but why should that be relevant? And we could say that it's relevant because the whole idea of Reshus HaRabim is that it's totally accessible from all sides, even from on above. You remember that we spoke about Reshus HaYochid, that it, right, in Reshus HaYochid, if it was inside a bias, we said it's Kemanda Malyadami. So this kind of a svara that if it's, you know, limited and enclosed, that it's not a Reshus HaRabim. So that's the way we have it here in a tradition that goes all the way back to Rav, that Rav is going to say that although there's a malacha called Mavir Dalet Amos B'Reshus HaRabim, which we derive from Machne Yisrael in the Midbar, and they were carrying the Kroshim for Amos in the Machne Yisrael, but nevertheless, it's got to be Eino Makura. If it's Makura, then it's called Eino Doma L'Digle Midbar and your pot. Now the Gemara is now going to quote another statement of Rav, which apparently is going to lead us to the opposite conclusion, that there's airspace in Reshus HaRabim that is considered a Reshus HaRabim for Meleches Hotzah, even though it's Makura. And that's going to be the case of the Agolos. Eini Veho Agolos Dimakoros Havyon, that there were in fact coverings over the Reshus HaRabim with regard to the Kroshim, and yet that is the source and the paradigm of Meleches Hotzah. So if you're going to go back to the Agolos in the Machne Midbar, then they in fact were Makuros. Now what I understand, again as we go through this very technical Gemara, quite tedious, and I'm not going to promise you any great magical results over here. I just want to survive this sugya, you know, so I at least get the basics. Is that the Agolos, as you know, were used to transport the Kroshim, and if we assume, which we're about to prove from another statement of Rav, that the Kroshim were laid out on the Agolos in such a way that they completely cover the Agolos. So in other words, we're going to have to talk about the width of the Agolos and the width of the Kroshim and how many Kroshim they would put at any given moment on the Agolos. But let's say I could prove to you that given all those measurements, the width of the Agolos, and the width of the Kroshim, and the number of Kroshim that are on the Agolos, and the width of each Agola, I can prove to you that the floor of the Agola, so to speak, was completely closed. And why is that important? Because then the Agola was, let's say, a certain gova, a certain height, on, you know, standing on the Machne Yisrael, on the Reshus HaRabim, and the airspace between the ground of Machne Yisrael and the Agola, the bottom of the Agola, which was the receptacle for the, was completely Makura. There was no airspace whatsoever because the Agolos took up the entire, I'm sorry, did I say Agolos? What I meant to say is the Krushim took up the entire space of the Agolos. That's what we're going to try to prove in order to ask Akasha, how could it be that below the Agola, in the airspace below the Agola is a certain height, it was Arishus HaRabbit. Let's say you were underneath the Agola, what you saw above you was an absolute hermetically closed kirui. Excuse me. Oh. The Amar Rav, Mishum Rabbi Chiya, Agolos, Tachteim, Beineim, Vitzideim, Rishus HaRabbim. So we'll go through each one of these three categories. The most important for our purpose is going to be Tachteihem. And basically Tachteihem means, that's the simplest of the three, that the airspace below the Agola was in fact a Rishus HaRabbim. Now again, if we're going to assume that the Agola itself was completely covered by the beams, by the Krushim, then we're ending up with the Rishus HaRabbim Makura, and this is Rav himself. And yet he classifies it as a Rishus HaRabbim. Now, in order to appreciate what these three categories are, he's got Tachteihem, Beineihem, Vitzideihem. So let's go through a little bit of what we know about the measurements of the Agolos. Now I think in the past, we've already emphasized that there were two groups, so to speak, two rows of Agolos. One to the right and one to the left. And behind it, one to the right, one to the left. Now the first measurement that we want to talk about, which is called Tzideihem, is the space between one Agola and the next Agola. So if you want to make a note of it, again, we have some diagrams here. I don't know if you have them in your Gemaras. Anyway, the space between one Agola and the other was 5 amos. Okay, that's number one. Now, we want to know what was the width of the Agola. So that's number two. And that is another 5 amos. So that so far, the brain is not clouded by too many numbers here. It's the same identical number. Each Agola was 5 amos wide. And the Agola to the left in the second row was 5 amos at a distance from the first Agola. Now, how do we calculate that the Agola itself was 5 amos wide? So that number 5 amos for the width of the Agola is actually a composite number. It's made up of two elements. It's A plus B. And that is the galgalim, the wheels, right? There's a wheel on each side. And then there's the space between the edge of each wheel in the inside. And what we're going to say is the following. See if I get this right. That the Agola itself was 1.5 amos in width. It's quite wide. Now, if you multiply that by 2, so you got a goal on the right and a goal on the left, so you end up with, just 1 second. What did I say? Did I say 1.5? Cross that out, I'm sorry. It's going to be 1.25 amos, right, 1.25 amos, the width of each one of the wheels of the Galgalim. So if we multiply 1.25 times 2, so we end up with 2.5. Now, if, let's say, you have your wheel on the right, for example, and at the left edge, you start calculating the width of the agol itself until you get to the next wheel, and that's 2.5 amma. So when we say that the width of the agol is 5 amma, we mean 1.25 here, 1.25 there, and in the middle, 2.5 amma. Alright, that's what I understand. I have a little bit of a diagram here. Honestly, the diagram itself I don't think is so successful. But anyway, that's what I understand. Now let's talk for a moment about the dimensions of the crushing. Okay, he says that the length of each keresh was 10 amos. Okay, so that's the third calculation that we have, is the length of the keresh is 10 amos. Now, where were these, how were these beams laid down on the agolos? And the answer is that they will lay down on the width of the agola. Right? So you can have one beam after the other laid down, or even rows or piles of beams laid down on the agolos to the width of the agola. Sort of like on a, if you would say it, on a 90 degree angle, if you follow what I'm saying. So that if the krushim were 10 amos wide, and the width of the agolos was 5 amos, if you count the wheels as well, so therefore the krushim would be protruding another 5 amos on both, on, you know, so divided into 2.5 on each side. So you have what we call boltim. Boltim means to protrude. So the blita of the krushim on each side of the agola was 2.5 amos. So you have 2.5 beyond the wheel on the right. You have 2.5 beyond the wheel on the left. Plus you have the 5 amos, which is equivalent to the width of the agola, right in the middle. And this is going to be very important for us, because keep in mind that there's another agola in the next row to your left, and the measurements are exactly identical. And we said that the distance between one agola and its partner on the left, so to speak, was 5 amos. Now, if each keresh is protruding 2.5 amos, it basically means that the krushim of the two agolos were in contact. They were touching each other, which would be makura. Okay, well, that's what I'm trying to, that's my goal here. Okay. Now, we have the statement of Rav, and Rav talks about tachteyem, beineyem, vitzideyem. Alright, let's start with Tzideyem. Right, Tzideyem means the Rishus HaRabim that is between one Agola and the other. Well, we just came to the conclusion that the entire area on the side of the Agola, which includes the width of the Galgalim, plus the protrusion of the krushim, is going to mean that there's no revach, there's no empty airspace between the two galgalim, right, the, let's call it the left galgal of the right agola, and the right galgal of the left agola, there's no airspace. All right. So now, we have tachteim, beineim, vitzideim. Okay? So again, as far as tzideim is concerned, so he writes here that tzideim, okay, I'm not sure what he means here. Well, let's say we understand so far tachteim and beineim. Let's fill in tzideim as a third fill in. So we have tachteim means the airspace that's underneath the agolos, and beineim is the airspace between the agolos. And in both of those cases, we're assuming makura. Why is it makura? Because in the case of the airspace underneath the agola, since they laid out the krushim to the rochav of the agola, apparently there was no space. They used every last inch of space, one row or one pile after the other of krushim. And as far as tzideim is concerned, which means, I'm sorry, let's talk about beineim. As far as beineim means the airspace between one agola and the next agola, we said that since there's this protruding krushim, there's not going to be any airspace beineim. And now we have tzideim. Tzideim, what would be tzideim, would be the airspace between, just 1 second, I don't, just for some reason I'm having trouble translating the words here. He says, tzideim is harevach shebeineim legalgalim. Ah, I think he means by tzideim means going from one wheel to the next wheel. I think that's called tzideim. That's highly questionable, but that's how I understand at this particular moment. Right now, keep in mind, each galgal juts out 1 1/4 amma from the agola, and the agola, we said, was 5 amos wide. So you have the airspace between one agola and the other. Let's call it, let's say 1.5. We'll call it 2.5 amos. And that airspace is also covered by the krushim, correct? So not only is the airspace between one agola and the next covered by a roof, if you will, but even the airspace between one wheel, one galgal, and the galgal in front of it, or backwards, whichever direction you want to go, is also roofed. And yet, Rav insists that in all three cases, we have just a rabbit. So you see that even something that's makura has the status of Rishus HaRabim, and that contradicts Rav's original statement that Rishus HaRab Makura is not a Rishus HaRabim. We go back to the Mishkan, and guess what we find? That in the Mishkan, in terms of Rav's three areas, all of which he calls Rishus HaRabim, they were all Makura. So the Gemara answers, you're making a mistake. You assume that the krushim are laid out in such a way that they completely cover the entire area of the agola. That's not so. Kikom Arav Bidurasa. It means that as they lay out these layers of beams, they leave space between one beam and the other. Well, you know, one layer of beams and the other. Okay, now, what I understand here is that what did we say before? We said before that the length of the beam is 10 amos. I'm not sure what the width of the beam was. He says here, I understand correctly, let me just see. What was the width of the beam? He says, "Berevach ben shura shel krushim shura smuchla shel hayu akrushim munachim lechol orech hagola el shayu munachim shuros shel krushim amesudarim echad al gabei hasheni legova umashirim revach ben shura leshura." The revach ze ben ashuros lo haya makura, the olav amar rav shedino kirishus harab. So again, there are spaces in between the. So let's just think out loud. If let's say, I'm just going to throw out a number here. Let's say that the width of the Kerash was 1.5 Amma. Okay. Let's just see. And again, we said that the length of the Agola was 5 Amos. Let's see, 1, 2, 3. And then you'd have a space of an Amma between each pile of crush. So I'm not sure yet exactly what the, let's see, if you have 1.25 would be 2.5. And then you'd have another. So again, how many different layers going from the bottom and up are there to the crushing? Let me assume that there are 3 layers. So if that be the case, then if each keresh, let's say, was 1 amma wide, so you have 1, 2, 3, you're left with airspace of 2 ammos. Correct? And let's say you divide up that airspace into 2, because you have, right, you have 2 lines of krushim, 2 rows at the 2 extremes, with one row in the middle, so you would divide up that area, that airspace, and you would have, let's say, an amma of airspace in between each row. And that's what Rav was referring to. That airspace is a Rishus HaRabim. Again, we'll try to see if, as we go along, we can sharpen it up a little bit. Second. All right, so we have to get a little bit more of a grasp on the dimensions of the crush. And we know that they were 10 amos long. We're not sure if they were 1 amma wide. But then again, you know what? I'm thinking out loud. The krushim were not necessarily a square. The krushim could have been I think it's more logical, again, we'll see as we go along, but that the krushim were rectangular. So there might have been, right? Let me just see if I imagine that this was a keresh, right? So it could be, if this is not a square, right, that the, you know, this side might be either longer than this side or the other, or shorter than this side, right? So you have piles of these krushim, one on top of the other, and we have three piles in an area of five amos. So let's see the next line of the Gemara. Michdi, urka de agola kamahavi. What was the length of the agola? Chamesh amin. Pursya de keresh kamahavi. So what's the width of the keresh? Amsa upalga, 1.5. Kama mosiv, so how many rows of krushim can you place on the agolos? Tlosa. So you have three rows, and the width of each one of those rows, in terms of the width of the keresh, is 1.5 amos. So if you have three rows, each row is 1.5, you're left with 4.5 width. Is therefore pasha le palga diumsa. So what you're left with in terms of airspace is half an amma. Because the total width of all three krushim is 4.5 amma, and you've got an agola that's 5 amos wide. Now, kishodr leimar beini ubeini, we're going to now divide up that airspace equally between, let's call it, row 1 and 2, row 2 and then rows 2 and 3. So we're going to take that palga di amsa, and we're going to divide it into half. Now, an amma is 6 tfachim. If you're dividing the airspace in half, you're left with 3 tfachim. So the Gemara says, ukilavidami, that since the space between each one of the rows, that means between, let's call it row 1 and 2, and 2 and 3, in both cases is going to be 3 tfachim, to make up... No. Again, the total airspace is a half an amma, which is 3 tfachim. So you're going to divide that in half. So you're going to have 1.5 tfachim in each one of the airspaces between the two rows. And then we're going to apply lavud. Yeah, so far so good. I didn't even think I would get to this point. Anyway, so we're talking about 1.5 tfachim of airspace. Now, if that be the case, and we've discussed this in the past, that lavud makes it sasum, you know, it closes the area that's open between A and B, then what we're left with is Arishasarab Makura. We're back to square one. Oh. So let's see how the Gemara wiggles out of this problem. Mi savris krushim aputayu havi monochle achudon monochle. This is the rectangular thesis that I was trying to push for before. That the krushim are not laid out flat on their width surface, which we said was 1.5 amma, but rather they were tipped over on their side. Okay, so now we have to know if it's 1.5 amma in the width, so what is the side, right? Let's just go back to our example over here. So if the keresh is 1.5 amma in this direction, what is the height, so to speak, of the side of the keresh? And that's going to be 1 amma. So now if you tip over the keresh and stand it up on the chud, on its side, which is one amma. So now let's calculate it. So you've got one keresh on top of the other, piled on its on each one on its side, and that's going to take up one amma. So you've got three rows, one amma each, and that's going to give you an airspace of two amma. And we're going to divide that airspace by half between row one and two, and then again between two and three. So we have one amma of airspace in each case, and that's more than Lovut, because Lovut is only up to three tvachim, and now we have six tvachim. But let me just see his translation here. He says, Im kein, shitchan shel sholosh shuros krashim ein sholosh amos, harevach b'neim shtei amos, nimtza sheyesh makom ama revach b'ne shura l'shura. Ve'al oso makom amar rav shenechshav rishus haramin. Okay, so far we're okay. So the area between each row is now one amma. And that's the Rosh Hashanah Rav that Rav had in mind, which is not Makura. Oh, so the Gemara is not happy with this. Why not? Sof sof, sumcha de keresh kamahavi amo. So right, the thickness of the keresh, which we said before, is on its on what we call the side, is one amo. Is kamavi mosiv arba? Oh, wow. The Gemara is saying that the premise is that they would put enough rows, as many rows as possible, maximize, that would fit into the agola. Right, that's called the Meleches Machsheves. Right, you want to do it in the most efficient and the logical way, effective way. So you're going to have now four amos on the chuda, right? Because the chuda we said was one amma. So you can now actually fit four rows of krushim on the agola, not three as we thought before. Because before we were talking about pusya, and the pusya we said was 1.5. So there's no way that you could fit in a fourth row, right? Because three rows already takes up 4.5 amma. But now that you've reduced it because you're tipping over the keresh onto its side so that each pile was one amma, now you can fit in four piles, four rows, in the agola. And that's not good. Why? Because poshalei amsa, now you have only an airspace, sachakol, of one amma. Ki shadi mar bene ubene kilavadami. So now you're going to take that one arm of airspace, which is six tfachim, you're going to divide it by half, and you're left with three tfachim of airspace between each row. Because we've already jacked up the number of rows from three to four, leaving an airspace of totally one amma, which now we divide in half, we're left with three tfachim on each side, and once again, we're going to apply the principle of lovud. So we still have, again, going back to square one, a Rishus HaRabim Makora. Now the Gemara even bolsters its kasha. He says, Hanicha Lamandi Omar. Maybe we could square off with a particular opinion that Krushim Milamaton Ovion Amo. But milamalon kolin v'holchim ad ke'etzba. Wow. That the krushim were not rectangular in shape. Now, I don't know the proper geometry term for this, but we're talking about something, right? It has one straight leg, and then it's got a leg that moves on an angle, right? So you don't have a rectangle. What you have is something that has less than a 90 degree angle, if you follow me. Let's call it a 45 degree angle.
It's a trapezoid.
Oh, excellent. A trapezoid. Okay, I'm going back to my... I actually had a very good geometry teacher in high school. I'm trying to remember his name. Zolzain Gesund. I hope he's alive, but he was very good. My freshman year, I don't want to go into it. You know, it was absolutely horrible. I never got back on the horse as far as algebra is concerned. But, all right. So let's see. If we're talking about this trapezoid, and it's called Holchin, Kolim v'Holchim. Now, how thin does it finally get? It gets to almost the spitz of an etzba, which is like a very minimum width. Is Shapir. Then we could say that at the top of the krushim, where there's only an etzba's worth of width, you have a revach of more than shloshet tfachim between one keresh and the other. Well, let's see if he has a diagram here. Okay, he calls it Tzir Zion here in the Masifta. Ah, so it's very nice, because what are you going to have here? You're going to have four rows of krushim that are tipped over on this side, and we said that the krushim take up one amma each side, but as they go forward towards the top, they thin out. So then, if you go towards that top, then the airspace between one, let's say the top keresh in that row, and the next top keresh in the next row, is going to be more than three tefachim. So I think what he's saying here is that on one side, which is an amma, and you multiply by four, you're not going to have an airspace of Rishus HaRavim because it's going to be lavud filling up that space. But if you move a little bit towards one side, right, we'll call it towards the left, then the space widens such that it's more than three tefachim. And it really makes sense that it should be more than three tefachim because the area between, the space between one keresh and, wait, let's just figure this out. The space between one keresh and the other, yeah, as you get really thin, it's going to come closer and closer to an amma. Do you follow what I mean? Because the agol is five ammos in its length, and, you know, you're getting really like, almost like strips of an etzba, you know, in the extreme left, but I mean, as you move towards that, you're going to have a distance of an amma between each keresh. Elo lemandiyomar, but that's not going to square with the other mandiyomar who holds, I think, that krushim are rectangular. Let's see if I'm right. Kishem shili milamata ovyon amo, kach milamalan ovyon amo. So it was a perfect rectangle. It did not, it's not a trapezoid. It doesn't get into a 45 degree angle. It always remains a 90 degree angle. And therefore, the thickness of the amma in each keresh, even when it's on its side, is maintained from the beginning of the keresh to the end of the keresh. And then we're back to square one again, because the revach between each one of these rows is going to be three tefachim. And we're going to apply the principle of lavud. Okay. Omar Rav Kahana. Bi'at b'e. Bi'at b'e. Okay, let's just see if we can figure out what this means. Okay, so first of all, the stacks of boards were not evenly spaced, but they were positioned, he says, in a clip formation. Okay, I'm going to try to read to you the Hebrew translation that I have here in my Gemara. He says, Shuras HaKroshim Shal Gabe HaGol Lo Ayu Munocha Shura Shura Liatzma Benifrad Ela Tzmudos Zulazu Shtayim Shtayim Be ofen shashuros niru mi bachutz kimo atba. Right, that was the word he used here. Right? What did he call it? Atbi'e. Right, so the singular of Atbi'e is Atba. Now, Atba, apparently, from what I understand, is a word that's borrowed from Safrus, from scribes. And he says, Hainu, Makel Eitz, Shebik'o Charitz Mirosho Lemeshech Orko V'nase Ke'en Atav Lachzokas Dape Kuntris. Okay, so I understand a little bit of this, not much, but I can tell you, Dape Akuntris, you have some sort of a book, we'll call it, you know, some sort of ledger, and you want to keep all the pages of the ledger together. So you put in a clip that holds all these Dape Akuntris together, and that clip is called an Atba or an Atav. Lachzokas Dape Kuntris. Now, he calls it a Makel Eitz. Right, so you have a strip of wood, and I guess they create, he calls it Bika'ot, like little, I guess, hollows, from the beginning to the end, for the entire length of this stick. And you attach some sort of a clip. Now, I would imagine, I don't know, he's talking about one Makel Eitz. I mean, I would imagine that you'd have two Makels. No, it just seems to me, in my mind, that you would have a strip of wood, then put in the dapim, and then attach another strip of wood on top. I mean, he doesn't say that. And then, you know, draw kind of holes in between, you know, this wood and that wood, this strip on top and that the other, and then attach some sort of an atba to hold on to these pages. Anyway, he goes on, he says the following, Hutzruchu laniach ken mipnei shegovo shel kol shura Hoya arba v'chetzi amos. So it means if each keresh was 1.5 amos wide, and let's say you had 3 krushim, so you've got now 4.5 amos. Kach she'ilu naniach Revach ben shura l'shura azay b'nesios ha'golos yisnanedu hashuros mitzad litzad v'akroshim yiplu. So if you set up the rows of krushim on the agolos, and all told you have 4.5 amos, so now you have a space between each one of these rows, then as the agolos, the wagons are moving, then what you're going to do is, because of the space, the various shuros of krushim are going to fall into the space. Is lefichach, therefore, what do they do? Hitzmidu shtei shuros krushim zu lezu bekotza echad shagol v'od shtei shuros bekotza sheni ubi emtza nishara ama revach. So let's see if we can calculate this. If he's got krushim that are 1.5, right, so I'm not sure exactly how many shuros there are. There are 3 or 4 shuros. He says shlosha krushim. I think he's going back to the three rows, I'm not sure. But shlosha krushim berochav amav achetzi, second. Rochva Ama Achas Bilvat. Just 1 second. Again, the goal here is to get an Ama, and I suspect that maybe he's reducing the number of rows here. Let me go over this one more time. Shuros HaKroshim Shal Gavi HaGola Lo Hayu Munachos Shura Li Atzma Bin Nifrad Elitzmudos Zulazu Shtaim Shtaim. The Ofen Shashuros Niru Vivachutz Kimo Atba Ainu Makel Eitz. Okay, fine. That's what we discussed before. See, the Atba here is just a symbol in order to help us visualize how the Shuros looked on the outside. Hutzrahula Nihon Kane Mishum Shegova shall call Shura Hoya Arba Vachetzi Amos Shlosha Krochim Barochav Ama Vachetzi Zel Gabi Ze. Ah, so now I understand this. There's one Keresh on top of another, on top of another. So you have three Krochim, one on top of the other. And if each one of the krushim was 1.5 amma wide, so what you have is a gova of the high point of the row was 4.5 ammas, which is three krushim times 1.5 amma. So the height is now 4.5 amma. And now the rochav is amo achas bilvat. Okay, fine. So now you've got it piled up in such a way that if we have a space between each row, right? We're saying that the rows are made up of three krushim, total height of which is going to be 4.5 amos. Is then you're going to have this problem that the krushim, right, the rows of krushim are going to move and fall into the hole, I guess. Where they move the agolos. So the krushim are falling. That's not a good idea. Therefore, here's the punchline, if we can get this. Hitzmidu shtei shuros krushim zu lezu. So they're going to attach two rows, one to the other. B'ktzei Echad bekatz echad shel agola v'od shtei shuros bekatz ashnia. So again, if we're talking about the ovi akeresh is one amma, so you have, in order to get rid of this space, you're going to have two You see, we don't have to get rid of all the space. We just have to make sure that we get rid of the space between one shura and the other, so that the krushim will not fall into the space. Well, I don't know. That doesn't really make any sense, does it? I'm not sure. Maybe it means that each row supports the other row. I'm not sure. Okay, that we'll have to get back to that. But then if you have the krushim, which are set up on their side, which is one amma, So then if you combine two different rows, you've got two amos here and two amos there. Ube'emtza, in between the two sections, if you will, of two rows each, nish'eres amo revach, vu yoser mishir lovud, ve'al osa amo lo haisa makora omarav shehi rishus harav. So again, I don't know if I can explain the whole presentation from beginning to end, but at least the last part I understood, that in order to avoid the crush and falling into the space, they took two rows and they attached them one to the other. And that left you with an airspace of one amma right down the middle. And that's what Rav was referring to when he spoke about it. It's just a Rav she'ena makura. And there's no lovud here because we're talking about a full amma. Now let me just see if I can. All right. So I'm just going to read to you a comment here in the English translation. He writes, "Atbe are paper clips akin to simple clothespins made by slitting a stick along part of its length. The upper part of the slit of the stick remains uncut towards the top." I don't know if this makes any sense here. "The two halves below remain flush against each other." Okay, I'm not sure I understand all the details, but the main thing is that there's a top and a bottom. And if you talk about the part of the stick towards the bottom, I guess, I'm not sure. He says they remain flush against each other. I mean, I think that's what we really want to get to here, the flush. He says, similarly, to place stacks of boards in clip formation means to position two stacks so that they are flush one with the other. So we thought in the Havamin up until this answer that the stacks were evenly spaced. And now we're being mechadesh that the stacks are not evenly spaced. And why aren't they evenly spaced? Because the boards were stacked three high, one on top of the other, on the narrow side. And each stack would now be 4.5 amos high on a base that's only one amma wide. And therefore it's going to be unsteady on the wagon and tend to topple over. Oh, now I begin to understand why he's calculating the width on the side and the height up above, because if you have a high, 4.5 amos high stack and it's standing on a base that's only one amma wide, it's going to be very, very shaky. So therefore, two stacks were placed with their backs flushed one against the other, so that one stack would buttress the other, effectively doubling the width of the base. Ah, very nice. So now we said the base was one amma, now the base becomes two amma. One double stack was placed at the front of the wagon, another double stack meaning a width of a base of one amma, was now placed at the rear. Okay, fine. So now, if you combine two stacks here and two stacks there, each stack has a base, or if you want to call it a thickness of one amma, so you have two ammas here and two ammas there. so that there's nearly an amma. I don't know what he means by nearly an amma, but an amma of open space in the middle of the wagon between the two double stacks. So basically, just to summarize, the word atboy here means a double stack, meaning that you take two rows and you flush them one against the other. So the Gemara now is akasha at be'e hecha monach lehu agav agola is agola gufa mekorahavi. In other words, maybe you've solved the problem of the airspace between the rows because we came up with one amma, but what about the ground underneath? The ground underneath has a roof. Now, wait a second. What about the point underneath the agola, which is directly connected the gap between the two stacks, which we said was one amma? What's the problem here? I guess the Gemara is being medayik from the fact that it says tachteihem. Maybe that's the diuk. So let's read it again. Atboy echi manach lehu is agaba de agola is agola gufa makora havia re agola atzma hoysola ritzpa v'tachteo yesh chalal makora. Oh, I see. The Gemara is asking now, what about the floor, so to speak, of the agola? But it wasn't like we split the agola down the middle with an amma of a split, right? The agola itself was five amma. So if you go underneath the agola, you're underneath the roof. So forget about the airspace between the rows of krushim. What about the floor, if you will, the ritzvah, right? Because the ritzvah of the agola, the ritzvah of the agola itself is a kira, right, a kora on top of the airspace in below it. So how could Rav say that underneath the agola is called Rosh Hasharabim? Omar Shmuel, and this is where we'll finish for today, be a sedos. He says, lo hoya la golos ritzpah. The agolas themselves did not have a floor. Ella, tachtis agola, hoisa asuya miyasedos. So you have like pillars, small pegs or pillars that are holding up the agolas. And apparently the space between one peg and another peg is more than three tefachim, so there's no lavud here. And if there's no lavud, you're not closing the space between the pegs, then there's actually physical airspace below the agolas. And he writes here, makom shetachas agola chashiv kirishus harabi. Now he's got a gigantic footnote here, because apparently this pshat, the way we're learning it, is only going to Rashi, and Tosfos has a bunch of kashas here, and he reinterprets the sugya. So let's see if we can get a little flavor here of Tosfos' kasha. Divra maschil it's boy, which is back here on Tzariches Amud Aleph. He says, Madua Savra Gemara Betchila Shahayu Shahayu Lagolos Ritzpa. Why did the Havamina of the Gemara assume that there was a Ritzpa to the Agolos? The Odin, furthermore, Liazit Sarach Ekdima Gemara Bekushas Adboy Hechi Monachla Agaba the Agola. Hayala Lahakshos Miyad Agola Gufa Makorahu. You know, why did it take so long until the Gemara had to raise this issue that the agola itself was makora, because it has a bottom to it? Itosis pirshus asugya shetirets Rav Kahana biat boy hu shemasha omer Rav bitchila shetachas agolos hu reshus harabim hu rak kodem Sheinichu es hakroshim al hagolos. So before they put the krushim down, kishelo hoyu al hagolos elat ba'oi bilvad, shoz adai lo hoyu hagolos mekoros. V'what's at boy heim eitzim sheyesh barashem nekovim ki ein tabos, v'yitochvin es ha'eitzim b'shnei kundesim, shayu omdim v'shnei tzidei agola lefanel uleachreha, v'masuyim kidei shlo yiplu ha'kroshim, v'al zehik shza gemara at boy heichi monochla agava di agola. Klomar, shalo eno meniach eitzim elu al agol ela liachashu meniach sakroshim oz kvar hagola makura bekroshim v'tirei Shmuel b'yisedos. Klomar, shein kavonis rav kahana b'yomro et boy li osam eitzim hanisonim lerochav hagol lahachzik hakroshim, ela kavono li eitzim acherim hanitonim li orech hagol. Sha'aleim nosnin es hakroshim, vehem asuyim kidei shiu hakroshim gvoim yoser meofane hagola, vehem asuyim kmo itbai, shesomim berochav hagola, uli eitzim elu hoysa kavonas Rav Kahan. Okay, Rabosai, we'll stop here. Have a good day. Thanks.